Well, I trust you guys are ready to get into God's Word. And yes, thank you, Lord. Tonight, I wanted to share on something that we do each and every moment and day of our lives. And the Father talks about this in His Word. So, the title I came up with is The Father's Will or Ours. You see, God gives us free rein to work out our own desires. And since we have the freedom of will, why don't we use it to bless others and do the Father's will? Because it's not always about me, me, me. So, with this freedom of will, we want to reach out and help people. That's the desire we should have in our hearts. Now, when I was growing up, there was something we used to do, and maybe some of you can relate to this. It was called, I dare you. And sometimes people would even double dare, and sometimes even triple dare, to do a risky proposition. I always try to see through all the foolishness of the dares, but still yet, it was always my freedom of will to choose. Now, God Almighty never dares us. No, He graciously gives us the freedom of our will. What we decide with this freedom of will can change our lives one way or another. And I know you know what I'm talking about. We can look back at some of our free will choices and see how we got where we are. So, we're going to see in the Word of God some of this freedom of will with man and God also demonstrating His will and see how others were given choices and the outcome. Man's will and God's, simply put. A note before we get started. The word will, as we will see, is going to be used as a polysemy, a condition in which a single word, phrase, or concept has more than one meaning or connotation. So, how about we get started at looking at how people's will was one way or the other, and what God wanted them to do. For this, I need everyone to turn to Jeremiah chapter 3, please. Jeremiah chapter 3. We're going to start this record in verse 6. Jeremiah 3:6. The Lord said also unto me, Jeremiah, in the days of Josiah the king, hast thou seen that which backsliding Israel hath done? She has gone up upon every high mountain and under every green tree, and there hath played an harlot. Verse 7, and I said after she had done all these things, turn thou unto me. But she returned not. Her treacherous sister Judah saw it. And I saw when for all the causes whereby backsliding Israel committed adultery, I had put her away, and I had given her a bill of divorce. Yet her treacherous sister Judah feared not, but went and played the harlot also. And it came to pass, through the lightness of her whoredom, that she defiled the land and committed adultery with the stones, with stocks. And yet, for all this, her treacherous sister Judah hath not turned unto me with her whole heart, but feignedly said to the Lord. And the Lord said unto me, the backsliding Israel hath justified herself more than treacherous Judah. Go and proclaim these words towards the north, and say, return thou, backsliding Israel, saith the Lord, and I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you. For I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep anger forever. And verse 13, only acknowledge thine iniquity, that thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God, and hast scattered thy ways to the strangers under every green tree, and ye have not obeyed the voice, saith the Lord. A man's will is inferred throughout this record, and the ones we'll see. God's will was to show His mercy upon the sinful, adulterous Israelites, while her sister Judah's heart did not turn back towards God while performing and polluting the land and people, as we saw. Now, once again, the people's will was to disobey the will of the Lord and the consequences. And for this, if you can go to Jeremiah, stay in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 6. And when you get there, drop down to verse 16, please. Jeremiah 6, 16. And we're only reading segments of the record, but the point shall be made. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old path. Now, the King James does a wonderful job of this, but I'm going to change over and read the NLT so you can get a little bit more picture of this. Again, verse 16, this is the way the Lord says, stop at the crossroads and look around. God is saying, you've come to an intersection that has your will, my will. Do it your way or my way. Look around. Ask for the old godly way and walk in it. Travel its path and you will find rest for your souls. But you reply, no, that's not the road we want. And how many times in life, it may be harmless, but still yet, God talks to us and says, do things this way. And yet we say, well, next time a little bit, I'm going to do this my way. Well, you're not doing God's will, you're doing it the way we want. So, verse 17 goes on to say, I posted watchmen over you who said, listen for the sound of the alarm. But you replied, no, we won't pay attention. You see, people at this time were given sound advice, and they knew in their heart of hearts what to do and what not to do, but yet they did things their way. So, moving on, I want to read the record that you're familiar with, but I'm going to show you a dynamic desire to do it God's way. Now, Daniel and King Nebuchadnezzar's dream. For this, please go to Daniel, and in Daniel, turn to chapter 2, please. Daniel 2, verse 24. Then Daniel went in to see Arioch, whom the king had ordered to execute the wise men of Babylon. Daniel said to him, don't kill the wise men. Take me to the king, and I will tell him the meaning of this dream. The magicians, astrologers, and the sorcerers were stumped. Enter Daniel. Daniel's will was to do as God's word unfolds in verse, if you can drop down to 25. Arioch quickly took Daniel to the king and said, I have found one of the captives from Judah who will tell the king the meaning of the dream. You see, you can read the rest of the story later, but that's the polysemy. Daniel's will was to do this, and also Daniel's will was he was going to do this because that was the desire on his heart. Now, back to what I mentioned a minute ago, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. How big of a decision was the choice of their free will choice? They were willing to take Daniel in the very next chapter, 3. We're going to pick this up. In verse 15, please. Daniel 3:15. What a man of God. Daniel starts by saying here, I will give you, or the king, I will give you one more chance to bow down and worship the statue I have made when you hear the sound of the musical instrument. That was his key. But if you refuse, these are the consequences. You will be thrown immediately into the blazing furnace. And then, what God will be able to rescue you from my power? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied, oh, Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God, capital G, whom we serve, is able to save us. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty. But, even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear to you your majesty, that we will never serve your gods, small g, plural, or worship the gold statue you have set up. Okay, that must have made him a little upset, because it says Nebuchadnezzar was so furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that his face became distorted with rage. He commanded that the furnace be heated 7 times hotter than usual. Then he ordered some of the strongest men of his army to bind Shadrach and Abednego and Meshach and throw them into the blazing furnace. So he thought he had this all figured out. Verse 21, so they tied them up and threw them into the furnace, fully dressed in their pants, turbans, robes, and other garments. And because the king, in his anger, had demanded such a hot fire in the furnace, the flames killed the soldiers that threw them in. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, securely tied, fell into the roaring flames. The king and everyone else probably thought that was it. They're suffering the consequences. But that very next word, the pivot word, is but. Verse 24, but suddenly Nebuchadnezzar jumped up in amazement and exclaimed to his advisors, didn't we tie up 3 men and throw them into the fiery furnace? Yes, your majesty, we certainly did, they replied. Look, Nebuchadnezzar shouted, I see 4 men unbound, walking around in the fire, unharmed, and the 4th looks like a god. In reality, it's an angel. Verse 26, then Nebuchadnezzar came as close as he could to the door of the flaming furnace and shouted, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High, capital G, God, come out. Come here. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stepped out of the fire. Then, verse 27, the high officers, officials, governors, and advisors crowded around them and saw that the fire had not touched them. Not a hair on their head was singed, and their clothing was not scorched. They didn't even smell of smoke. And here we go in verse 28. Then King Nebuchadnezzar said, praise to the capital G, God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He sent his angel to rescue his servants who trusted in him. That was their will. They showed their will in action. They defied the king's command and were willing to die rather than to serve or worship any god, Lord G, except their own god. You see, this was a stand or a choice of their freedom of will that had grave consequences, and yet they still went through with the trust in the one true God. Now, I want to read the history-making choice of this word, will. And for this, I need you to go to Matthew chapter 26, and we're going to drop down. I just need to read one verse that ties this all up. 39. Matthew 26, 39. He went on a little further, speaking of Jesus Christ, and bowed with his face to the ground, praying, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me. See, there is a slim hope that he had that if it was possible, God would do that, his Father. But it goes on, yet I want your will to be done, not mine. Wow. This choice started everything that we have today because of his free will decision to do his Father's will. You know, there's a gentleman by the name of George Herbert who once said, where there's a will, there's a way, and Jesus Christ made that way. Amen? I want to close with a song and then a prayer.
I'm so confused. I know I heard you. loud and clear, so I followed through. Somehow I ended up here. I don't wanna think, I may never understand, that my broken heart is a part of your plan. When I try to pray, all I got is hurt.
Gracious Heavenly Father, I have tears in my eyes right now of joy and great peace, knowing that, yes, I can do your will, Father. And I ask you each and every day as I wait that we all can do your will. Father, nothing else is as important as that. And in the meantime, Father, you are always meeting our needs as a gracious God that you are. Father, as those examples your word gives us, help us to take a stand doing your will, Father, for this is my prayer tonight for each and every heart that belongs to your family, Father, for we truly belong to you and are a grateful family for all the things you do for us and the things that we're not even aware of, Father. So again, my prayer is to always do your will and help me to be a better listener. And it's in Jesus Christ's name that I pray. Amen.